Sit back, relax, and enjoy as Don Tony gives you news and reviews from AEW.
Welcome to the party! Oh my God, that's a coming standing!
NXT.
Crosses here to ransack NXT soul!
And indie wrestling. It's Wednesday night, Dynamite.
Know what's happening in the world of wrestling without the hate and clickbait. And now, your host, Don Tony.
Good evening, everybody. By the way, that'll probably be the last time you see that intro for Wednesday Night Dynamite. No, for the haters, the show's not going anywhere, but we are working on brand new intros. We're also working on a brand new show. That is not the thumbnail. That is just something that I put together quickly. That will be something in the very near future. It may actually launch next week. We may do a trial episode next week. The sit down with Don Tony. Now, where I come from, you know, especially if you're not aware about the Italian mob and things from yesteryear, a sit down would be where you would have very important meetings, very important discussions. Now, I know there's a lot of characters that play, you know, these Goombas and Mafioso and all that stuff, but a lot of it I witnessed real life and in person. The difference is I will be sitting down with all of you. We will have a show dedicated just for live calls because I know a lot of you want to call in, want to talk about wrestling, non-wrestling, and it's very, very difficult to really put together a real good call-in segment when 3-4 calls, you know, eat up a large portion of a show. So by doing an episode that is strictly calls, at least when you want to call in, you know that the entire show is going to be nothing but calls. I don't think a lot of people want to keep hitting redial, have 4 calls come in, and then you lose your chance. So that'll be in the very near future. So anyway, good evening, everybody. Tonight's show, as I posted in the synopsis, as I posted on social media, tonight's show will be a little bit different. One thing I take pride in, going back 25 years, is when it is needed, we can sit and talk about real life. I know pro wrestling is an escape. I know a lot of people like to live vicariously through the characters they see on TV, thinking that the characters they see on TV is what they are in the real world. Maybe it's influenced by the real world, but what you see on TV is art. It's entertainment. I take pride that we are one of the few shows that could get real, get raw, and not be a character or a script. We could talk about real life issues. And how strange is it? On Monday, Mish and I had this very serious conversation about Tammy Sitch. Believe me when I tell you, anybody that is a fan of Wrestling Soup, or Mish especially, knows that Mish has been very, very critical of Tammy over the years. A lot of comedy, and deservingly so, but not a big fan of Tammy Sitch. Mish, out of respect to the seriousness of it, out of respect to the show, out of respect of what went on, he put that aside and was a tremendous human being on Monday. Did you notice every single website out there, every single social media page out there, with the exception of Gerwick.net, never reposted what I put up? Why? Because I got, and I mentioned this on Patreon yesterday, I got so many DMs and emails from news sites, podcasts, journalists asking me, what county is filing extra charges to Tammy Sitch? What hospital is she in? What actually happened in ICU? And I said, look, man, I am friends with a lot of her very, very close friends. And this obviously will lead into John Moxley. I said, I don't think it's respectful for me to get that deep into it. I said, right now, if you have any concern for Tammy Sitch at all, keep her in your prayers. Maybe you tell your viewers or listeners to keep her in your prayers, because unfortunately, alcoholism is a sickness. It is an illness. And you mix alcoholism with a relationship that has gone toxic, and that is a recipe for tragedy. Not one website, not one podcaster, not one journalist, not one, I don't want to say fans, because a lot of fans did. Not one of them posted anything about Tammy Sitch going in ICU, having an issue again with alcohol, violating the terms of her restraining order. In ICU is pretty serious. Not one of them. Why? Because if they couldn't break a news story, they didn't give a flying fuck about someone who is having some really serious issues with alcohol. John Moxley, 24 hours later, you all know the news by now. And suddenly, you see a whole change of attitude. I have no fucking idea what Mike from New York is saying. Neither did WWE. Since when does WWE say, keep your thoughts and your prayers and this, this, and that? A wise man once said, if you use the news of one man's trip to rehab as an excuse to take shots at a wrestling company, the nicest thing that I could say about you is that you take wrestling way too seriously. Yours truly says, if you use the news of one man's trip to rehab as an excuse to take shots at concerned wrestling fans, the nicest thing that I can say about you is that you're a fucking asshole. That's what I have to say. So we're going to have a little bit of real conversation for a few minutes about what happened with John Moxley, about conversations that we've had before. Later on, we'll talk Dynamite. And trust me, this is not going to be a long conversation. It's not necessary when you get right to the point. We'll talk about Dynamite today, which I got to be honest with you. You know, there were moments that I really enjoyed, and there were moments that I was like, I don't know, man. You know, five matches tonight, not too bad. We'll talk about Dynamite. We'll recap NXT 2.0, bring up the ratings, which I think everybody expected to dip from Halloween Havoc. Themed episodes always get better ratings. That's pretty obvious. And tonight, we will pick live on this show the winners of the Mandy Rose contests. Remember, all this is being given away today. All this is being given away. Contest number one obviously will be the autographed photo of Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville, because they're so close with each other. Pretty cool duo. I don't have any autographs yet of Mandy Rose with the dark hair, but I have someone working on getting me some Toxic Attraction autographed photos signed by all three on the same pick, so we should have that in a couple of weeks. That'll be one contest tonight. Another contest tonight, somebody will win this photo and this photo and this photo. If you see her in person, you could have her sign them. They are beautiful 8x10s. This is not like photocopied from a website. So someone is going to win all three of those photos tonight. And somebody's going to win, and I think this is a pretty cool prize, man. Mandy Rose autographed rookie card. It is Beckett authenticated. And I tell you, you know, she's in the company for about 5 years, and I don't know, she looks like she's changed quite a bit, not just in the make, in the hair color department, but yeah, Mandy Rose, rookie card tonight, so someone will be getting that. Now, also tonight, we're going to have two giveaways for these. I want to thank the book company for sending me four, and I actually have two more on the way that I got myself. Permuted Press, the Moxley book is out. I have not read it yet. I'd be honest with you, and I swear on my parents, you both know, oh, you all know how serious health-wise they're both in right now. I don't swear on them unless I'm dead serious about something. I don't read books. I might have read two books in 25 years. I read owner's manuals. I read articles on the net. I don't read books. I might listen to a book on Audible. I don't read books. This book, whether he would have went into rehab or not, is a book that I decided I'm reading from cover to cover. You know why? He said it. Moxley said it in an interview with Jericho, I think last week, that he wanted this book to be almost a quintessential opposite of how people write books. This is a book that is as if a friend is just talking to you about their life, their shit. It is not a typical book that it's got to be professionally edited. Everything has got to sound, you know, too perfect. This is raw. This is uncut in some ways. Hey, guy revealed he tried crack once. So I am reading this book from cover to cover. That is rare for yours truly to do so. So we're going to have two contests tonight for the books. One contest will involve everybody who is tuning in live and in the chat room. That is contest number one. Contest number two will involve everybody after the show, because I understand there are so many shows live right now. I don't expect you to tune in to our show, to my show, live every single time. And I don't want people who really, you know, because of maybe logistics, or maybe they just don't want to stay up late on a Wednesday night, or maybe they're tuning into another show. I don't want people to feel left out. So there will be two books given away tonight. One will be given away with our live chat, and the other one will be given away for everybody who tunes in after the show. King of Games, thank you very much for the Fiverr, the Super Chat. How do I think they should handle the CM Punk Eddie Kingston confrontation on Friday? Oh, very simple, my friend. Very simple. These two guys are beautiful on the mic. They got to cut promos on each other. There's got to be a pull apart. They're having a match at Full Gear. It's not a question. They're having a match at Full Gear. I know CM Punk teased that he was going to take on Orange Cassidy. You know, and it's funny because I saw people writing these big news articles about, you know, that he's going to be the one to replace Moxley tonight. That was not happening. I should take that back. If for any reason they couldn't have Mirdo take on Orange Cassidy tonight, CM Punk did in fact offer to be in that spot. Now, you know me, I'm a stickler to detail when it comes to storylines and promos and, you know, things that, you know, fall into place. And I am a stickler to the little things. And tonight AEW did a great one. When CM Punk explained to the fans live why he was not taking on Orange Cassidy tonight, as simple and as easy as it sounded, you'd be surprised how many times in wrestling you don't get that much detail. Something tells me that was CM Punk's idea more than anything else. And the fact of the matter is, they're not obviously, you know, going to officially announce their match at Full Gear until Friday. But he has an issue with Eddie Kingston. He wants a match against Eddie Kingston at Full Gear. If he has a match against Eddie Kingston at Full Gear, and he's also in the tournament, they're not going to have him wrestle twice at Full Gear. So it's one or the other. So CM Punk basically telling the fans, look, I know you would all love to see me take an Orange Cassidy and me taking on Bryan Danielson at Full Gear, but I have something right now to deal with Eddie Kingston, who is not in the building tonight. Great. Great. Little things like that are a big deal. Before we go any further about Dynamite tonight, let's talk a few moments about Mr. Moxley. Last night I was doing a Patreon show with Mish, and around 11 o'clock at night, I started getting alerts on my phone. Now, every Tuesday, I always stay over at my parents' house. I always make time to see them, you know, and I stay there every Tuesday night, so my computer setup is different. And I keep my phone alerts on, especially when I'm doing the show, because if something needs, you know, to be addressed, whether it's, you know, my fiance or upstairs calling me, you know, I got to keep it on. So my phone started blowing up last night, like around 11-ish, maybe a little after 11. And while we're doing the show, because it's audio only, I grab the phone and I start looking at it. And it's message after message after message. Did you hear about Mox? Did you hear about Mox? Did you hear about Mox? And, you know, that's all that was pretty much written. And I'm like, oh, fuck, what? You know, you think the worst. You think the worst. My God. You know, fill in the blanks. You could probably think what I thought yesterday. I got this really bad cold chill. And in a weird way, when I saw the news story, you know, my first reaction was, shh, this guy's not dead. Being straight out with you. Then I read about him going not only into rehab for alcoholism, but inpatient rehab for alcoholism. And props to John Moxley for allowing this to be made as public as it was. Tony Khan, very Mike from New York, you're a great listener and everything, but what do you want me to say? Fuck you, Roman Reigns, for not giving well wishes. How do you know what is said publicly and privately? Come on, man. People don't stop that. Just stop it. That's the gotcha stuff. That's other podcasts. That's not here. You don't know what is being said. Moxley didn't say it publicly. If you really want to split hairs, did Moxley go on Twitter and say, everybody, I got an alcohol problem. I can't be on the shows and I have to take a leave of absence and, you know, I'll be fine and blah, 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 blah. Moxley himself didn't say it. He said it through Tony Khan, said it through Renee Young, said it through his friends. John Moxley has a problem with alcohol. Is it numbing the pain of being a pro wrestler? Is it the stress of trying to manage your family? You look at his promos, and we talked about his promos, talking about, you know, this doesn't matter, this doesn't matter, I care about my family tonight. Let me tell you something. He's got a newborn. He's got a newborn. And we don't know. We don't know how long this issue with alcohol has been going on. But it takes a lot of guts to, especially when you're in that position that, you know, you're high and almighty and everybody, you know, thinks that you're Teflon, to become a human being and say, I got a fucking problem and I need to deal with it. I need to do it for myself. I need to do it for my daughter. I need to do it for my wife. I need to do it for my family, my friends. I need to do it for my well-being. I need to do it for my coworkers. That is not easy. That is not easy to do. And this is serious. This is serious. It took a lot of balls, a lot of courage. Not only that, a lot of humility. Guys, gals, I don't know if any of you out there have ever had a drug problem or ever had an addiction to anything. But if you did, or if you knew anyone that did, one of the things, and is probably the biggest hurdle, even bigger than his family, the biggest hurdle that John Moxley had to go through is to go past denial. Because, a couple of beers, it's a big deal. It's better than taking drugs. It's better than getting addicted to painkillers. It's better than this. You know, I don't drink and drive. I don't do this. I don't do that. It's denial. Denial is the biggest issue of them all. When you get to a point where not only do you realize you have a problem, but it's so serious that you have to check yourself in to inpatient. You know what that means more than anything? John Moxley, whether people want to admit it or not, or want to face it or not, John Moxley right now, even though he's got balls of steel and the courage to admit he has a problem, John Moxley is probably in his weakest stage right now. Because John Moxley, it's not enough to just drive to an AA meeting, explain in meetings why you drink, and, you know, listening to others and everybody helping each other and a hotline. You pick up the phone. Look, I feel like I need to have a drink. And somebody talks you out of it. No, when you check yourself in, you're pretty much putting yourself in a situation that, even if you want to break out of there. Now, sure, I mean, it's not jail. If he wants to leave, he can. But he's putting himself in a situation where he is forced, whether he is having withdrawal, he is forced to be there. That is even harder than just saying you're going to rehab. And what happens? What happens with a lot of people out there? And you all could fill in the blanks with any celebrity, any athlete, any movie star, any musician. Most times you see people admit publicly that they have a problem and they're going into rehab. Many times, I shouldn't say most, but many times it's because they got caught. It's because they did something wrong. It's because they violated the law. And look, I have no notes in front of me tonight. I'm talking from here. It's not going to be perfect, but I'm just talking to you like we're friends. You know, most people out there probably know a friend, a family member, a neighbor, a coworker. They knew someone that had an alcohol problem. I mean, you look at movies, you look at forensic files, you look at, you know, news shows, and over the years, you know, what was the stereotype? The alcoholic father, you know, beating up the wife, beating up the kids, having an alcohol issue and, you know, totally ruins his life and this, this, and that. Alcohol, that's a disease. It is a fucking disease. And, you know, when you see, like I said, we talked about it, about Tammy on Monday, and again, not one news site, except for Gerwig, gave a shit that she's in ICU. And the cop-out is, well, you know, we want to verify it before we actually post it. Nah, man. Close friends close to her, like this. She's in the hospital. She's in ICU. You know, whether you like me or not, because I said it, you know, I brought it up before. It's like if CBS hates NBC and there is a tragedy that happens and NBC is the only news outlet that shows up at the scene and no other news outlet could show up because there's barricades and the police won't let you go anywhere near it. And NBC is the only one that has the coverage and the footage and CBS doesn't say a thing. That's ridiculous. It just goes to show you that, you know, people are very selective as far as, you know, who they care about. But when it comes to fans, I'm talking about journalists, but when it comes to fans, you all give a shit. And it blew my mind. It blew my mind in the last 24 hours to see people out there trying to make this an AEW versus WWE thing. But WWE would never allow someone to have alcohol. What the fuck does that even mean? Now, I'm not going to give you name examples, because when you actually repost these dumb fucks comments, you're just as bad as them. You're acknowledging their stupidity. But I see people making it AEW versus WWE, which is ridiculous. And then you have people out there, because fans in droves, are expressing their concern for Jon Moxley. I think one of the most ridiculous things that I read today over and over and over again were people saying that everybody comes out of the woodwork to express themselves publicly about Jon Moxley's alcoholism, but they don't do it for the everyday person. And my response to all of those posts online is this. Most of you out there, when you have a family member, when you have a friend, when you have a coworker, where you have a neighbor, or an online social media pal, you don't look for social media acknowledgement. You do it in private. I have so many of you out there that I have talked to privately over the years, talking about suicide, suicide attempts, addiction, people dying, people overdosing, family members dying from COVID, this person homeless, this person, you know, their wife left them, their husband left them. They're lonely, depressed. I keep those conversations private, just like all of you that do it. You don't run to Twitter or Facebook or Instagram to publicly ask for acknowledgement because you're looking out for your pal, your friend. None of us have Jon Moxley on text, so we can't contact him privately. So we all publicly reach out and say that we care. And how anybody out there could look at that as a negative is just, it's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. Jon Moxley has an alcohol problem that is so serious that he has pulled himself off of wrestling events. He has pulled himself away from his family. He has told the world that he has an addiction problem. He is dependent on alcohol. And before it turns into a tragedy, he is humbling himself and he is forcing himself to go into inpatient rehab and to get himself better. There are so many people out there that live vicariously through people in entertainment, people in sports, politicians, believe it or not, wrestlers. You know what's funny? A wrestler has personal issues and overcomes them. And a lot of the support that is given is privately. And that's an inspiration. And you look at those people as role models. I have hinted on these shows several wrestlers who I can call friends, not close friends, but friends online, who countless times will send emails and DMs and private videos to everyday folk out there. Be strong. You got this. Keep your head up. You know, life's a challenge. You're going to get knocked down. Get yourself up. You know, you'll overcome. Just because they don't make it as a cameo video doesn't mean that these people don't do this. But the funny thing is, if someone cuts a vicious promo online or has a badass look to themselves, those same people live vicariously through those people. So whether you look up to someone simply because they're a badass, simply because they have a cool look, simply because they like the same music you do or like the same movies or like the same clothes, you know, that doesn't mean that there isn't a connection privately. It's nice to see social media sometimes come together. John Moxley right now, you know, this is one-on-one. Him versus alcohol. And every single one of you out there who have had addiction issues can relate in some capacity. Some of you out there who never had addiction issues, you may have it in the future. And it's nice to have people that you admire who overcame it. It's inspiration. So any of that negativity that you read online from people, don't repost it. Don't debate them. Don't put them down. Don't rip them a new asshole. Ignore those people. Because 9 times out of 10, those people are the ones that need the social media acknowledgement. They're the ones that need the attention. You do a good deed. I call, and I said it early on social media. I have said it for, what year was the fundraiser? I think it was 2005. Ever since I saw Mick Foley walking down, I think it was Hempstead Turnpike, on crutches in like 2004 or 2005, you know, because we were doing a charity show for a fallen Marine. I've always said it since then that so many of you out there, you look out for people the Mick Foley way. If I had a dollar every time Mick Foley has done something generous and kind to someone without the cameras around, without posting it on social media, without anybody even knowing, if I had a dollar for every time he did that, I own a Cadillac, brand new Cadillac. So if you need support, you look for your friends. You look for your online friends. You look for the people who inspire you. You see little gestures, little examples. You know, I read the other day, Becky Lynch breaks character to acknowledge fans dressing as her as Halloween. And I'm like, just shut the fuck up. Because everybody out there is a human being, period. Roman Reigns is posting stuff about people who are battling leukemia. It's not him breaking character to address people. It's just people, they don't have that human connection, that intimate connection, that at the end of the day, everybody bleeds the same color. Everybody hurts. You know, I remember Lana when they did that 24 and she's crying hysterical about the stuff online. And there's people actually out there that say, she's full of shit. She's a millionaire. Look at where she lives. Look at the money she's got. Look at all the fame, the accolades. And she gets, you know, how many people got to pull a bullet through their head or OD on drugs before people realize, wow, you know, just because someone has $1 million and I don't, just because someone has a blue check mark and I don't, just because someone is famous on TV and I'm not, doesn't give me the right to put those people down and to knock them down and to say, no, they got thick skin. No. At the end of the day, those are people that are just bitter and jealous that they don't have what you have. So for all of you out there, yeah, we could all post the 1-800 numbers for Alcoholics Anonymous, depression, drugs, everything. But at the end of the day, you got to be there for people that look for you, that care about you, you know, and one day you may need them. You don't need social media acknowledgement for it. You don't need, you know, to have everybody, you know, give you 500 likes over it. You know, we're all human beings at the end of the day. And John Moxley, you know, albeit famous, albeit somebody, you know, we enjoy, and he's a badass and everything that he is, hardcore. But at the end of the day, he goes through life issues just like we do. And I wish him nothing but the best. And I know most of you out there feel the same. And just because he gets 50,000 kind gestures and well wishes and someone else doesn't, you know, doesn't mean that you stop. You know, when I posted that online about Tammy on Monday, I said to Mish privately, I said, Mish, nobody's going to bring it up. First of all, they could care less about Tammy. You know, if Tammy, unfortunately, tragically is taken off this earth, then everybody will be, you know, oh, you know, we got to be more aware. We got to, you know, but it's moments like that when you realize, you know, that, you know, at the end of the day, people are more concerned about getting attention. And except for fans, fans look out for people and fans stepped up, and bravo to all of you out there. And look, let me also say this too. You know, for those out there who did not say anything publicly or cannot say it publicly because it hits home too close, you know, quite a few of you out there have had parents who were alcoholics, who were very abusive, who saw your parents' marriages split and divorce happen because of this. People in jail because of addiction. We've seen people lose their life because of addiction. Why? Because alcohol is something you can mix with soda and it tastes good, but a pill doesn't taste good, that it's any different. Alcohol brings a chemical dependence on people. It makes you feel good. It numbs your pain emotionally, physically. I joked about it. You know, I haven't danced in a club since 1988. One time I danced in a club after that, and I was wearing a full-blown Halloween costume, and nobody could see that it was me under the mask. So I'm dancing like a goof, and I'm saying to myself, okay, if everybody thinks, you know, oh, God, this guy looks like a goof, well, I'm the devil. I dressed up as the devil. They don't know it's me. I'll disguise my voice. And I'll be like, I'm Kermit the Frog. Hey, did you see that guy? Yes, Kermit the Frog was dressed up like a devil. But if I have a couple of drinks in me, I'm more loose, I'm relaxed, I'm hanging out, I feel pretty good, I might be a little bit stupid. If I'm down and I had a bad day, you have a glass of wine, you take a shot, this, this, and that, it makes you feel better. And then it becomes two, and then it becomes three, and then you mix something with it, or you do this, you do that. Next thing you know, you can't live without it. It's not easy. It's not easy. So just because he's a famous person on TV doesn't mean that that guy has got some serious battles ahead. Just because he could take thumbtacks to the back or glass or light tubes doesn't mean that, oh, a little alcohol problem, eh, he'll ace that. He's got a hot wife at home. He's got a daughter. He's one of the most popular wrestlers. He's got money. He's got this. Yeah, he'll ace it. Prayers to John Moxley. I know he'll never see this. It doesn't mean we don't send it. Doesn't mean that we don't care. And I always say to all of you out there, any of you out there, you know, ever need, you know, to just vent, open up a little bit, you know, you could always reach out to me, Mish, everybody. That's why in this chat room, since we started this channel 18, 19 months ago, whatever it is, I vowed that this channel was not going to have toxicity on it. Yeah, some people get into some arguments. It happens. You know, nobody's perfect. I'm talking about that toxic hate. Because me, I always believe that if you're not a toxic person and you don't think that people should be harassed, bullied, put down, made fun of, if you don't tolerate that toxic lifestyle, there ain't no fucking way I'm going to have a YouTube channel, a Facebook page, a chat room, a Twitter account, an Instagram account, where everybody on the channel could just put everybody down and be the absolute vile of the vile. And I just sit back and I just act like it's not happening. You know, so everybody out there really looks, look, AS7607, I really feel bad for bringing her up. And we'll move on. Right after this story. I know a lot of you already know what I'm about to say. AS7607 is a young lady who is a fan of the show and a pretty cool chick. And, you know, earlier this year, she got hit with COVID. She was in a hospital, pretty serious condition, called, well, was in the chat room and was tuning into the show just to get her mind off of what happened. Her favorite wrestler was Paul Orndorff. Yes, believe it or not. And she had a family member who was sick. She was dealing with depression. And we did a contest on this channel. And anybody that's live right now that remember this, you'll vouch that I'm not exaggerating one bit of what I'm about to say. Seriously. We had a contest. And the contest was, I think, a Money in the Bank briefcase. And inside the briefcase, I was going to put a couple of goodies in there. And one of the extra prizes, you could have an autographed photo of anybody you want in wrestling. Crazy Cruiserweight. The guy that doesn't like any female wrestlers over the age of 30. That Crazy Cruiserweight. He won the contest. He said to me, he says, look, give the prize to AS7607. He doesn't know her. He wasn't trying to get nudes. He wasn't trying to get a date. He just felt bad for her. He wanted to lift her up a little bit. And he says, give her the prize. I said, okay. I contacted her. I asked her, autograph photo, anybody you want. I want, could you get me my favorite wrestler, Paul Orndorff? He said, yeah, let me see what I can do. I call up a few people, email a few people. I get a authentic WrestleMania 1 photo, a promo photo, where on eBay they're like $150, $200, the originals, unsigned. I got one for her. Sent it to her. Paul Orndorff died 2 weeks later. I mean, beautiful story. And then meet with something like that. But the thing is, that gesture lifted her up so much. Some of you are, oh, I never got anything in my life. You know, you'd be surprised. A little gesture can really be the difference for someone. And on the flip side of it, slightest little insult could be the one that puts somebody over the edge. As almost impossible as that sounds, that's why I really go out of my way, you know, not to have animosity, personal animosity towards people, you know, personally in real life, you know, online stuff. You know, yes, I will distance myself from that negativity, but I don't look to kick someone while they're down. Me, I always say it, the ultimate this that you could give to people online is success, happiness. And whatever makes you happy, even if it's just sitting at home and working on a car that's worth $200, whatever makes you happy, that clears your mind and keeps you away from the vices that could take over. You know, alcohol has no personality. Alcohol is not a real person. Alcohol is a vice. And you don't want it to take control of your body. You don't want drugs to take control of your body. Look at me, man. Look at me. And I've said this many times before. I had a car accident in 97, almost killed me. 96, excuse me. Almost killed me. I still take painkillers to this day. I have a spinal stimulator inside me. I have a whole bunch of shit. I deal with pain. And at one point, early on, I was taking 20, 25 painkillers a day. And there was reasons that made me stop. But the thing is that, you know, my body's addicted to pain medication. Thank God I only have to take one a day. But my body, for 25 years, has been looking for it. My body is chemically dependent on pain medication, even if it's just one. And the worst times for me is when I get sick. If I get a cold, hachu. If I get a little virus. Because then I got to make a choice. Do I take cold medicine and NyQuil? Or do I take my pain medication? And you got to see how brutal it is to go 24 hours and not take that one little pill. So Trust me, it comes in all shapes and sizes. A vice could be a bad relationship. A bad relationship will make you do some whacked out shit. Alcohol, drugs, bad relationship, whatever it is. Shopping, you'd be surprised how much shopping could turn into addiction. But Moxley, man, a lot of guts, a lot of courage to do what he did. Because a lot of people will convince themselves, I don't have a problem. I don't have a problem. Look at what I do. I take bumps. I do this. I do this. When Moxley says, I'm not going to do ladders no more. You know how much pain it causes me to go through ladders, he said. So now you kind of put it together. Yeah, alcohol probably is the thing that numbs the pain. And if it's not alcohol, it's going to be something else. 25 years ago, it used to be somas. It used to be muscle relaxers, Xanax. That was the in drug that a lot of wrestlers would take back then. You know, once weed started to become more socially acceptable, you saw people really go into weed more than anything else. But you have Oxy. You know, a lot of you that have been following me for a couple of years know that my best friend died 2.5-3 years now. Drugs. Had an addiction problem. Guy turned into a crackhead. Talked about it on this show many times. The guy turned into a crackhead. And me, I wanted to help him so bad, and I couldn't. There was nothing that I can do to stop him from this addiction to drugs and alcohol. And I stopped talking to him. I didn't talk to him for 5 years. And I'm not going to bring up the boat story, but a lot of you remember the boat story where the guy just had a night of just nothing but smoking crack on my boat that I had that time with someone else. And that was it. Dude, I can't anymore. And a lot of people distanced themselves from him because they couldn't trust him, because the guy would steal. There were rumors that the guy whored himself to other guys. He was 100% heterosexual, that he whored himself out just to get money for drugs and alcohol. It ruins you. So this guy, God bless him for making this decision, not convincing himself that he had a problem. Because trust me, you could go online and John Moxley could do almost no wrong. Very easy for somebody in that position to convince themselves, I don't have a problem. Look at what I do for a living. Of course I need a little extra alcohol compared to the everyday person. I don't have a problem. I don't hit my wife. I don't abuse my family. I work my ass off. I don't put other people's careers in jeopardy. So what? I have a couple of drinks after. You know, it almost sounds like the Sean O'Hare character. You know, it's all right. You work hard. Look what you do. Regular people can't do what you do. It's all right if you have 3, 4, 5 drinks. You're not getting behind the wheel after. So what's big deal about that? You know how easy it is to convince yourself not that you don't have a problem? Much love, best wishes to John Moxley. And much love and best wishes to all of you out there who have battled, who may battle in the future, who had someone very, very close who battled and won, who battled and lost. It's a sickness. It's a sickness. And it's really, really weird to have this conversation Monday about Tammy and then literally 24 hours again having pretty much the same thing again. You know, alcoholism doesn't care if you're a hardcore wrestler or if you're a 50-year-old OnlyFans star. Alcohol and drugs don't care if someone, you know, can, you know, pull a nice demo rating on TV or could be ranked 0.5 on OnlyFans. It does the same damage. And we don't want to see tragedy. I don't wish tragedy on my biggest enemy, seriously. So every one of you out there, however you handle this, whether you can say something publicly or you say it privately or it's too raw to talk about publicly, you all are handling it the right way. There is no wrong formula how you deal with these issues. But don't you dare ever let anybody tell you, because you go publicly to wish Moxley well wishes, and because you don't publicly do that to other people, that you don't do it. Because 95% of the time that I'm talking to a lot of you out there who are going through problems, it's always through DM and email. We don't talk about it publicly unless somebody wants to make it publicly. And for a lot of us, it's very embarrassing. So with that said, you know what? Let's do the contest now, shall we? Let's do the contest. All right. Let's do the Mandy Rose contest first. Then I will tell you how we'll do the Moxley contests. Then we'll talk a little bit about Dynamite. We'll talk a little bit about NXT, and then we'll call it a night. Because we've already gone 50, and I'm only going 90 tonight. So we got 40 minutes to talk about both shows. Like I said 2 weeks ago, we're not going to get into every little match and every little detail and every little thing that went down. We just overview, because most of us saw these shows already, and we could talk about our opinions on a few things. All right. So, very quickly, the Mandy Rose contest, as I showed you earlier, we're doing three giveaways tonight. And how everybody entered is in last week's show. You posted a comment. You posted the keyword, the hashtag word after it. And now what I'm going to do live is I am going to pull up last week's episode, and I'm going to pick that program, and we're going to choose three random winners. Somebody is going to get the three autograph photos. In fact, the first contest we'll do is we'll give away these three photos. They're not autographed, but they are beautiful 8x10s. Trust me, I have them inside. They are not sticky. I don't, you know, I have special someone in my life. So that's good enough for me. Someone is going to win these three photos. That'll be the first drawing we do. The second drawing that we do will be for this autographed Mandy Rose, Sonya Deville photo. And it has the COA, so it is authentic. That'll be contest number two. And then contest number three will be for the autographed Mandy Rose rookie card. It's Beckett authenticated. And whatever you do with these, you do. You don't have to ask me permission. You want to sell it, sell it. You want to enjoy it, enjoy it. You want to give it to someone else, give it to someone else. You win it, it's yours. I don't care if you live 5 miles away from me or 5 million miles away from me. I can't ship the space, but I can ship anywhere in the world. So with that said, let me very quickly. Oh, and here's another thing. You do not have to be live to claim these prizes. One of the Moxley contests will be for our live chat tonight. But for these Mandy Rose contests, you have a full week to claim your prize. If you do not claim your prize by the beginning of next week's Dynamite, then I will give your prize. We will do another contest for someone else. And all you got to do is DM me on Twitter, email me, dontony@dontony.com, you know, with your address and everything, and I will get it out to you right away. So let me pull up the program. Crazy Cruiserweight's letting everybody know that she is 31 years old. Does that mean she's okay, Cruiserweight? You do not have to super chat that. But anyway, let's pull up the program. If you look at the screen, and for those on audio only, do not worry. I will announce the names as well. And as you can see, you know, okay, just so people know that this is not like pre-recorded what I'm doing here, right now it is 11:02 p.m. You see on the top, I just wrote 11:02 p.m. So you know that this is active right now. This is not, you know, like a pre-recorded thing. So anyway, right over here, I'm going to go to this that says pick a winner. And obviously, it must have the magic hashtag. I almost spelled it wrong. So now I'm going to click this green button. And the first person that comes up, now, if your name gets picked twice, you only get one prize. We got to spread it around. So the first person I choose right now, you will win those three beautiful photos of Mandy Rose. So without further ado, congratulations goes to Garth Osveen. Ostveen. That's right. Garth Ostveen. Long, long, long time friend of the show. I think the first time you ever won. So congrats, Garth. You win the three Mandy Rose photos. The next winner, we will pick it. This is for the autographed Sonya Deville Mandy Rose photo. Congratulations goes to Ray J.J. Jr. I think that's Ray J.J. Jr. Yes, we are the ones. We the ones. Absolutely. So congrats to you, my friend. You got the autographed Sonya Deville Mandy Rose photo. And now for the autographed rookie card of Mandy Rose, congrats goes to Matt B. Matt B, congrats, my friend. So you are the winner of the autographed Mandy Rose card. So congrats to those winners. As you could see, there's no way for me to finagle the contest. So congrats. And again, if any of those three, hey, Ray's actually live right now. So props, my friend. If anybody does not claim it, then we'll do another giveaway next week. Now, in a few minutes, we will have the live contest for everybody who's live. And do not do it yet, but I will tell you how you could enter. You could enter both drawings for the Moxley book. One will take place live for the chat room. One will take place after the show. Do not do it yet, but how you enter for the live part of tonight for one of these books, because we got one here and we got one back there. I think you see I have it on display. After we run through Dynamite, I will announce in the chat room when to start, and then all you have to do is post what you think AEW Dynamite's rating is going to be. The first person who is closest to the rating for tonight's Dynamite will win the book. So by tomorrow, around 4 p.m. Eastern, we will know who won. I will announce it on tomorrow's Q&A live stream. That'll be the first contest tonight. The second contest will be just like what we did for Mandy Rose, just like what we've done with a few other contests this week. After this show is over, when you're able to post a comment in the comment section, post whatever you want. Want to post the well wishes for Mox? You want to talk about Dynamite, AEW, NXT, whatever. Full Gear? I don't care. All you got to do, though, is after your comment, you write hashtag Mox, M-O-X, hashtag Mox. And then next week, we will announce the winner live of the drawing for the other book. When I get the two additional books, we will do another contest next week for a couple of more books and probably some autographs. So, yeah, that's pretty cool. All right, so Dynamite tonight. Five matches. Some of it to hype up Full Gear. And, you know, maybe I'm going a little ass backwards right now. But I want to read you the lineup for Full Gear as it stands right now with two rumored matches, which we could pretty much guarantee is going to happen. I don't know about you, but I honestly could say this might be my favorite AEW pay-per-view lineup to date. I mean, yes, ratings, you know, have gone down a little bit for AEW. It is kind of fallen steady, in my opinion. And yes, AEW is doing what we said the last couple of weeks that they should do. They're pulling back. There is no question they are pulling back on the pay-per-view quality type matches that we were getting for a while on Dynamite, especially. You look at the match results from tonight, you know, not completely off the hook, you know, not like what it was before. They need to, because when you see this Full Gear lineup, you know, it's solid from top to bottom. And Larry, Tony Khan, without question, made some unforced errors couple of weeks ago. Tony Khan, I think we all can admit that Tony Khan is learning thick skin on the fly. Just because you're a millionaire and you work very hard for it as well, whether, you know, his dad helped him or not, the guy works his ass off, but thick skin is not inherited. Thick skin is grown, and only time and only experiences. Bischoff has been very outspoken lately about Tony Khan, and Tony Khan feels the need to retaliate and retort everything that Bischoff says. Sometimes you got to just leave it alone, water off a duck's back. Tony Khan, as bad as he was a couple of weeks ago, insisting on this war with WWE, remember the David versus Goliath stuff? Let's also give him credit. For the last couple of weeks, he has not done that. And somebody obviously, you know, got through to him. And as time goes by, you know, I think he will get better and better. So he's human. You know, I mean, we could criticize, you know, the comments that he did a few weeks ago, but we should also praise when it seems like, you know, he is, you know, trying. Look, AEW should be about fun, period. If you want to add a little real life to it, like CM Punk's promo tonight about Jon Moxley, absolutely. AEW did something tonight that WWE never does. And just because Drew McIntyre talked about COVID on Raw, he cut his promo about COVID. Bet you if Drew never got the COVID, he would have never cut a promo talking about COVID. You know, WWE, you know, unless it's cute wrapped, you know, with a, you know, cosmetic, you know, bow around it, they don't hit the Raw issues. We've talked about that with the Susan G. Komen and Khan is Cure, and those are very worthy causes. But they would never, ever dare show Bobby the Brain Heenan when he was alive with half a face. And that pissed us all off. Bring this motherfucker to ringside. Let everybody see the reality of what cancer could do. Let everybody show love. Bobby Heenan was doing all those autograph signings, and every time you'd see him, he'd do this, and he'd try to be lighthearted about, look at me. I look like a fucking elephant man. But it's not going to bring me down. It's not going to make me sit in my house until I rot and die. Guy went out. WWE refused to show that man what he looked like. You know, it's got to be cosmetically perfect. CM Punk tonight came out, cut that promo, talked about Jon Moxley, that he just absolutely praised Moxley, the courage, and saying, you know, if you need help, speak out for it. Of course, everything that CM Punk said tonight, you have said, I have said, other wrestlers have said, counselors have said, commercials have said, teachers have said, sports athletes have said, movie stars, musicians, your neighbors, your parents, your friends have said. But it's reassuring when you see someone that you enjoy watching on TV getting a little bit real. And CM Punk, and I hate using real names, but CM Punk being Phil Brooks for a little while. Because wrestlers, when you see them being genuine, you know, everybody think, oh, breaking character. No, man, you're not a fucking character 24. What do you think, you're Hogan? Oh, I was just being Hogan, brother. And Oh. No, you'd be human beings. So it was refreshing to see what CM Punk said tonight. It was everything that we knew already. But it was awesome to be able for AEW to go on the camera and not just be, you know, the beautiful bow tie and, you know, just about get our mind off it. No. Put it right out there in the open. That was good. That was good. I know some people are laughing and some people are like, wow, that's pretty deep. Yeah. Shit like this is serious. Give props to AEW and CM Punk tonight for that. Sting's comments. That was cool. That was very cool tonight. And believe me when I tell you, when you see some people online, and I don't want to get back to that, but I want to say one last thing about that. When you see people online, there's quite a few people today. I never said this before, but Jon Moxley saved my life a couple of years ago. That I was in a very deep and dark place and he helped me get out of it. That is not someone who is just writing that to get 1,000 likes. Most of the time, that is someone who truly was in a deep, dark place. And when I said earlier that I have people I'm friendly with in wrestling, that do that more than you can imagine privately without it being posted publicly, you have no idea. You've heard me once in a while say on these shows, you know, to a certain someone out there, you know, major props for what you did for a certain friend of the show, you know, what was said, you know, because people tell me. And it does not go unnoticed. You know, the people that have a problem with that on social media, those are the ones that are looking for the attention. So, anyway, here's the card for Full Gear as it stands right now. Kenny Omega versus Hangman Page for the AEW heavyweight title. Britt Baker defending the AEW Women's Championship against Ty Conti. Bryan Danielson, who will now take on Miro in the finals for the Heavyweight Championship Eliminator Tournament. Miro beat Orange Cassidy today. Man, the timing of that match was all out of whack. It was at 9:59, and I'm like, all right, we need like an abrupt finish. And sure enough, Miro literally, I mean, just quick. And he even got a little stare down with Miro and Bryan Danielson after the match was over. That match was obviously rushed. I have nothing against John Silva. I swear I have nothing against John Silva. AEW fucking plugged John Silva versus Adam Cole 4 times tonight. You have an important match to set up in the finals for the Eliminator Tournament at Full Gear, and you waste 4 minutes, John Silver, talking about Budge, and maybe you could be a manager of the Dark Order. What, these little subtle jokes at what was rumored with WWE and Adam Cole, and guess what? You fucked up your main event because you had to put John Silver, do that during a commercial break. We didn't need to see that shit on camera. It's not funny. Some WWE haters, oh, they giggled their ass off, but they fucked up their main event. And I'm sorry, that's how I feel. There was no going like this. For what? For what? So you can have Orange Cassidy versus the Redeemer? Fucking Miro almost got counted out. That match was a mess. It was good while it lasted, but that 4 minutes that they wasted on John Silver, they fucked that match up. Again, I have nothing against John Silver. John Silver, he has sold me. I'm glad he is going to be featured prominently on Rampage Friday. And guess what? He's going to have a top quality match with Adam Cole. It's not going to be a squash match. But when you know you are pressed for time, and we've already seen 3 times tonight that Friday it's going to be Adam Cole versus John Silver. We don't need John Silver in the middle of the ring taking shots, subliminal shots at WWE, when you know you got a very important match. Somebody's replacing Mox. And that match got fucked up. That's just my opinion. So we have Bryan Danielson versus Miro at the pay-per-view. We got CM Punk versus Eddie Kingston. It'll be made official on Friday. MJF versus Darby Allin. FTR versus the Lucha Brothers, only for the AEW tag titles. That's very important. I think that is a missed opportunity on AEW's part, because by not putting the AAA titles on the line, you pretty much could guarantee who's winning these belts. Who's winning that match, I should say. Because if FTR was winning those belts at Full Gear, then you could have put the AAA tag titles on the line. If you were going to do winner take all, FTR would have had those AAA tag titles. But the fact that they did not put the AAA tag titles on the line for this pay-per-view means only one thing. The Lucha Brothers are going to retain. I mean, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure that out. The Inner Circle versus Ethan Page, Scorpio Sky, and the 3 members who were picked tonight, told you. I said it for 3 weeks straight. Dan Lambert had to be one of those 5. Dan Lambert had to be in this match. Now, if you saw what I wrote earlier today, I want to see Dan Lambert, doesn't have to take any bumps, Give that motherfucker a wedgie. Rip his tidy whities out under his pants. Hold him up in the air. Give him a five-star wedgie. And if you want to go one step further, you could superimpose the suspension of disbelief that he's got shit stains on his underwear. Dan Lambert needs to get the ultimate wedgie on this pay-per-view. Dan Lambert will get his. And I was so happy that they went ahead and did that tonight. It made sense. Now, look, man, for everybody out there that is getting angered because Jericho made a joke to Paige VanZant, that's her name, that, oh, when she said, I could take you all on 5-on-1. Of course, it's a play on words. If a female's going to say, I could take all five of you on myself, 5-on-1, of course people with dirty minds,
5-on-1,
of course it's college humor. People like, oh, that's disgusting, still taking shots at women. Look at Paige VanZant, hit a couple of jabs herself, making fun of Jericho with Instagram and, you know, God, people need to just stop with this, you know, like this, I don't even know what you call it. Every time a female gets put down, there's these weird males online. They know they're watching entertainment. They know that people are going to call promos on each other, call someone a fat-faced dipshit. Oh, yeah, fat-faced dipshit, fat-faced dipshit. But the minute you say to a female, did you say,
she said 5-on-1, yeah, yeah.
That's disgusting, terrible. In 2021, we're still doing this shit. God, man, seriously, we got to send those people the itty-bitty, teeny-weeny penis pump. Weird people, man. Weird people. But I will also say this. For people out there saying, oh, AEW should sign Paige VanZant because she could cut a promo. Fix your women's division. Why? Because she could tell you off, like if you're in a bar, that she could just insult you and put, I'm sorry, I don't know based on where you all live, but here in New York, I've come across a lot of women over the years, not directed towards me, but I've seen a lot of women over the years in bars try to get picked up. And they'll start just ragging and putting someone down, and they will own the motherfucker. Just because someone could verbally put someone down without hesitation and sign them to a contract. Stupid, man. Stupid. The segment was okay. Wasn't that great. We all knew where it was going to end up. Junior Dos Santos and Andre Arlovsky are the other two men along with Dan Lambert. So they will be taking on the Inner Circle in a Minneapolis street fight. And look, the Minneapolis street fight is simply so. Some of these, look, the Minneapolis street fight is designed for one reason only. So the MMA guys don't have to do wrestling moves. They could just brawl. And yes, the MMA guys do not want to be embarrassed by pro wrestlers. So if they get put to a table, if they get hit with a Singapore cane, if they get hit with chairs, if they get hit with fire extinguishers, they get with stuff like that, well, that's not MMA stuff and it's not wrestling stuff. It's just like a street fight because there are MMA guys that would get their ass kicked in a street fight. That's the reason why they're doing that match. And I have no problem with it. I think it's actually going to be a very entertaining match. And the other rumored match is going to be the Young Bucks and Adam Cole versus Christian, Luchasaurus, and Jungle Boy. I'll be honest with you. The segment tonight with the Young Bucks and Adam Cole, and then Jungle Boy, Christian, and Luchasaurus. You know, the snare trap towards the end was cool. And the concerto to Cole was cool. But to me, that segment was just rough. It was rough. It seemed like everybody's feet were in quicksand. I mean, there were parts where the Young Bucks were just standing there waiting to get hit with a move. We've talked about that before. I mean, you have like Luchasaurus trying to like set up something and you see somebody just standing there like waiting to take the move. There was just something off with that tonight. It wasn't as good of a segment as I thought it was going to be. I mean, the concerto looked great. The snare trap looked great. You know, I mean, it's going to be a fun match, no question. But that whole confrontation, even the back, I mean, you know, Young Bucks are awesome in the ring. You know, but when Christian shows up, look, Christian, you better leave here because there's three of us and one of you. And then Luchasaurus shows up. It's like a bad cartoon. You know, when you see someone take a deep swallow and you see, you ever hear that in the car? I don't know if you could hear it. You know, when you ever see the car? Uh-oh. That's what it looked like. All right. It was cute when Hangman Page took off the marshmallow head last week and you have one of the Young Bucks behind him. Mm-hmm. Little bit too much in my department. What else do we have tonight? Ah-ha-ha. I know it sounds like I'm crapping on it on some of stuff tonight. I think some of it deserved it. I think some of it deserved it. Kenny Noballs, Kenny Omega over Allen Angels. Yeah, I know a lot of people out there were like, we're 10 days away from Full Gear. We're getting Allen Angels versus Kenny Omega. Yeah, it's just a blow-off match. This is AEW pulling back a little bit. I had no problem with it. The match was not bad. You know, the funny thing was the announcers, simply because Allen Angels keeps kicking out of stuff, he should not be kicking out of Kenny Omega's finishers, in my opinion. But just because he keeps kicking out of two, This guy, he's got it. No, he's 1 second away from losing. I mean, they just focused on the fact that he kept kicking out. Allen Angels come a long way. Why? Because he kicked out at two. The match was good, but the commentary, I blame it on the commentary. I thought the commentary was not so spectacular tonight with that match. Malakai Black cutting a promo that he's barred from ringside tonight. Didn't matter. Miro cutting a promo about him being put in the Eliminator tournament, the Redeemer, getting his shot at gold again, which was good. Fine with it. FTR versus Samurai del Sol, the former Kalisto and Aerostar. Was it just me, or did Jim Ross hate this match? I'm not going to lie to you. I did not enjoy that match. I know I'm not the biggest Kalisto fan, for people that follow me for a long time. It was cool to see Aerostar. Aerostar, I think he's like 37 or 38 years old. He's not a spring chicken. I mean, when you have a mask on and your body looks in shape, you can't tell if they're 25 or 40. He's been around for a little bit. But Aerostar did a flip outside the ring during the match onto Dax and almost broke his fucking leg. Did you see that? He climbed the corner post and then decides, instead of diving onto Cash in the ring, he decides, I'm going to go flip upside down onto Dax, and his leg, he is lucky he didn't snap his leg in half on the ring, the guardrail. This match, you know what this match felt like to me?
Yo, we need to do better than the Lucha Brothers. Oh, we got to do like the Young Bucks with all the high-flying shit that we see on AEW. We got to do our own shit, and we have to do it even better. We got to be on the same level. And it looked like a fucking video game.
Kalisto missed a lot of shots. Aerostar hit air. You know, he put the air in Aerostar tonight because he hit air a few times. You know, yeah, doing some moves, but go back and watch it. Go back and watch. Did you see the synchronized fruit roll-up in the ring for a two count? Look at one part of the match, and this part I was like, yeah, I'm done. There was one part of the match where FTR was holding Aerostar in the ring. And because Kalisto took too fucking long to go to the left side of the ring and dive over the middle, the top rope on the side and dropkick Aerostar so FTR could fall down, just go back and watch it. FTR pick up Aerostar and they're just holding him. Go to sleep, go to sleep, go to sleep, my little Mexican. Go to sleep, go to sleep. Oh, my little lucha bro, go to sleep. By the way, they're doing a lucha tonight. Trust me, WWE was not happy with that. They were not happy with that. Him doing lucha, lucha, doing the exact same thing. Trust me, Kalisto, I don't think ever will be rehired from WWE, and I don't think he really cares. But you go back and you watch the FTR holding Aerostar in a ring. You could have counted to 10. They're just holding him. Why? Because they're waiting for Kalisto to go outside the ring and climb up the side of the ring on the top rope and dropkick Aerostar onto FTR. And then later on, even better, FTR had to set each other up. You even saw Dax have to lift up his feet twice so Aerostar could go for a pin. It was just over-choreographed. It made no sense. High-flying shit is cool. When high-flyers are facing high-flyers and they're out trying to high-fly each other. But when you're fighting someone like FTR that is a ground game, no flips, just fists, and you just decide, you know what? I'm going to just flip backwards outside the ring and do a 680 somersault because it looks cool. The match did not tell any story whatsoever tonight. It was, to me, a mess. It was a mess. The best part of the match, though, the best part of the match. I heard Excalibur say it was Moroda-esque. He said it fast. Moroda-esque. A lot of people got exposed tonight. Now, Crazy Cruiserweight, I will piggyback something you said earlier. How many people tonight exposed themselves claiming that they watched Lucha Underground but did not know who Aerostar was? I agree with you, but I'll go one step better. Shout out to every goof, mostly podcasters, websites, journalists. It's funny because I see other people using that same phrase now. It's kind of funny, but shout out to all those goofs who for the last couple of years have been blowing Jim Cornette on how much they loved the Midnight Express. When beautiful Bobby Eaton died, all of these posts for the Midnight Express, Jim, I sound like Star Trek, Jim. I loved the Midnight Express. I grew up on the Midnight Express. I'm a young fan, but I'm watching a whole bunch of Midnight Express. Jim, I love the Midnight Express. Brian Last, I love the Midnight Express. Do you remember this epic match, this epic encounter? I'm a huge fan. And they had no fucking idea what FTR's music was tonight. That is the ultimate exposure of a goof. It was a variation of the Italian genius, Giorgio Moroder. He's like 80 years old now. He's still alive. He did so much disco stuff back in the 70s and the 80s. And anybody who knows me a long time knows I was a big fan of disco. The Midnight Express came out to his theme, The Chase. Come on! I watched people tonight who were clamoring and just gushing over the Midnight Express and Jim Cornette, especially after Bobby Eaton died, claiming that they've watched every match and they had no fucking idea what the hell is this music FTR's coming. What the fuck is that? What kind of music is this? This is garbage. Why is FTR coming out to this? Why did they choose this? This is horrible. This is horrendous. What is this shit? Unbelievable. A lot of tweet and deletes tonight, by the way. Oh, that was funny. The match was what it was, but Matt Sydal, Dante Martin doesn't want to train with him anymore. You think Matt Sydal figured that out 3-4 weeks ago. So now he's got a new training partner, Lee Moriarty. And because they like to train, they put a friendly challenge up to Dante Martin and Leo Rush. So that will be a tag team happening very, very soon. I actually think that tag team will be pretty good. I don't know if it'll happen Friday on Rampage, but it's going to happen probably next week. Pretty cool with that. We had Jamie Hayter over Anna Jay. Not much there. We had the usual interference from Britt Baker and Rebel. Rebel distracted the ref. Britt Baker got involved. Jamie Hayter with the lariat gets the win. Jamie Hayter advances. After the match is over, we got an after-match beatdown. And then Ty Conti makes the save because Ty Conti obviously is going to be going up against Britt Baker. They basically start getting to her, and Thunder Rosa shows up. So Thunder Rosa pretty much ready to return, had a minor concussion that she seems to be almost 100% again. MJF's promo on Darby Allin, that was good. Did anybody catch the Darberino? If I said to you right now, Darberino, I think you would know what I'm talking about. Props to anybody that does. Darby Allin's in the rafters. MJF is cutting a promo on him, on the fans. He brings up that when AEW was signing all these people, him and Darby Allin, they were fine with it because they have it. They know that they're stars. Even before Dynamite ever existed, MJF, they knew that they were stars. And MJF is talking about Darby. You're like, why did the fans cheer you, but they hate me? And he basically says, Darby Allin is a misfit like them. And MJF is like their boss or someone else that they always wanted to be, but can't. And MJF is saying that Darby Allin is going to lose to MJF at Full Gear, not because, you know, he's trying to beat him, but instead he wants to batter him. So MJF is so confident that he thinks he'll beat Darby Allin at Full Gear with a headlock takeover. So Darby Allin says, no, Full Gear will be a wrestling match. Boo. It'll be a wrestling match, but that's because tonight he's going to take it out on MJF and beat the shit out of him. MJF tries to get out of Dodge. Sting stops him. We get a couple of people wearing, like, the paper masks. Shawn Spears gets involved, and then you got another clusterfuck. But MJF versus Darby Allin is a match, one of the matches I'm definitely looking forward to at Full Gear. Absolutely. They had a nice segment tonight. In fact, that probably was my favorite segment of the night out of everything. Andrade, El Idolo, over Cody. We're not going to talk about Tony Khan's interview. I haven't checked out the whole thing yet. Maybe we'll talk about it tomorrow. But Tony Khan did an interview, I think, with The Observer. And Tony Khan made a remark that the fans are treating Cody like they did with Cena. Don't get me started. Don't get me started with that. But we already know why the fans, you know, why doesn't Tony Khan post up a tweet? Hey, guys, how come you don't like Cody? Let's see if you get the because he's like Cena responses. So anyway, Andrade wins. Basically, Malakai Black was banned from ringside, but FTR were under the ring, and there was one part where Jose, the assistant, tried to get involved. Arn basically knocks him on his ass. Cody goes for the tope suicida outside the ring. FTR, you know, reveal themselves from underneath the ring. They knock out Cody with the belt. Andrade with his finisher. Andrade gets the win. And then we basically get a beatdown afterwards. From now on, I'm going to call Arn Anderson Rock Anderson. I know his son is Brock. We're going to call him Rock Anderson. Because there was one point that was pretty cool. There was a stare down with Tully and Arn. That stare down should have been a little bit longer, but it was cool while it lasted. But if you notice, when FTR hit the ring and then the Lucha Brothers came out and made the save, you know, Tully Blanchard could run to the opposite side of the ring and roll out. Arn Anderson just hangs out in the corner like a rock because Arn Anderson can't move like that anymore. It's funny. The guy could take a back bump still tremendously. But for some reason, you know, if you ever see him try to, like, expedite out of a ring, he better not have a fire drill anytime soon. You imagine him if he's like in a gymnasium, in a church, in the back of the AEW building, at a department store, on the other side of the building, you know, and you hear like a fire alert, you know, just like a fire drill. Weeble wobbles, but they don't fall down. I mean, people call Paul Heyman the Penguin. He's Rock Anderson. He's like a rock in the corner. He can't move. Go back and you watch it. Everybody's running out of Dodge. And Arn is like, fuck this. I'm just going to hang out in the corner for a little while. Yeah, Glock Anderson. You know, I do like that, Russell Day. That's a good one. We got Brock and Glock. They should come out with a shirt like that. Brock and Glock. Yeah, I'm a little sick of the Glock chance. That's not, like, funny. You know, I was thinking about something tonight. Since we pretty much covered the entire show already. I'll make a point. Yeah, I understand everybody keeps focusing on the demos. The demos, the demos, the demos, the demos. But you know what some people don't ever talk about? I'm going to throw this out there. And when I say it, you're going to be like, holy shit, you're right. Everybody focuses on these demos. But they always seem to leave out the fact that WWE is rated TV PG. And AEW is rated TV 14. So because WWE is rated TV PG, they do content that is suitable for younger viewers. When you're TV 14, it's not supposed to be suited for younger viewers. So of course, when a lot of the product or none of the product is kid friendly, of course, you can have more adults tuning in. So when you get WWE program, when people are like, how does Raw still get these big numbers? Well, if you take away the kids, Raw actually would not be doing all that spectacular. And they're not doing spectacular now. But that's why I laugh at these people with the demo stuff. I'm like, wait a minute. One is TV PG and one is TV 14. You know, back in the 90s when I watched cartoons, did I want to watch the TV PG? I love you. You love me. Or did I want to watch the TV 14?
Heh. She said Bush.
That's why I don't put any thought in a lot of these people online. So anyway, so now let's do the Moxley contest. Then we'll spend a couple of minutes quickly on NXT. Look, the reason why we don't spend a lot of time on NXT is because it's a developmental program. It's developmental. Not everything is going to be polished. It's meant to create stars of tomorrow. You know, we don't talk about AEW Dark. I don't see a lot of people talking a lot about Dark or Elevation. You know, Dark, Elevation, developmental. You know, we could obviously overview it and talk about little drips and drabs, but obviously it's, you know, it's a different animal. What's up, Gary? Good morning to you. So, here's how we're going to do the contest. For everybody who's tuning in, if you're not in the chat room yet, head on over there now. If you're a new subscriber, if you subscribe, you should be able to post a comment in a minute. We're not doing this yet. I'm going to type in the chat room right now just to test, but I'm going to write this. See that in the chat room right now? It says test. T-E-S-T with asterisks. Well, in a minute, I'm going to type that, but I'm going to write go instead. And then basically for a minute, everyone out there, you post what you believe AEW Dynamite rating is going to be for today. And then tomorrow, whoever comes closest to the rating first will win one of the Moxley books. Now, if I were you, and I've said this before, do not wait for everybody else to post their entry. Because if someone posts a number that you're thinking and they come closest, the first person with that closest rating wins the prize. So the idea is get your prediction in fast. And if anybody posts more than one prediction, then your first choice will be taken. And if you post like over and over, then you'll just be void. So if I were you, I would just post one, because I will watch the replay and I will go in order. And the first person with the closest rating wins. And if you post more than one, your first choice is the only one we're going to take. So, Benjamin, you could win and give the book to someone else. I'm sure you got some friends in the chat. So play for fun. If you win, you could say, DT, give the book to blah, blah, blah. You know, so you could do that. You don't have to take the book. So save me shipping charges. So anyway, don't post it yet, because I'm about to type go. And then for a minute, everybody could post their numbers. And then when I type stop, that's it. No more. And it should only take you 5 seconds. In fact, I know a lot of you right now probably have your ratings prediction in the chat box. You just need to hit enter. So without further ado, I am going to type and we'll count it down. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go. So let's see what your predictions. All right, Martinez was the first entry tonight, 855. I will tell you my, you know, last week I was only off by 10,000 viewers. I was only off by 10, I think I said last week 955 and it was like, 951 and it was 941. So I was within 10,000 last week. I don't think AEW's rating is going to be, I don't think it breaks a million tonight. I mean, it could. It very well could. Because I think there might have been some added attention because of Moxley not being able to wrestle. Maybe fans, because some fans thought that Bray Wyatt was showing up tonight. I mean, wishful thinking. But maybe some fans, just out of the curiosity factor, you know, tuned in to see who was going to be replacing Moxley in the tournament. Wasn't a bad show. I mean, they got all the characters on TV, but it almost feels like Tony Khan is afraid not to have people on TV. Because look what happened with Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns on Friday, and we're almost done with the entries. We're going to start closing out the entries any minute. But Roman Reigns on Friday, he wrestled a dark match. He wasn't on SmackDown. And it was trending on Twitter that Roman Reigns was not on SmackDown. So, yes, once in a while, some of your favorites are not going to appear on an episode. That's something that Tony Khan needs to start doing. You can't insist that a certain group of 40 have to be on every episode no matter what. Because most of the times, they're not even pushing a storyline unless it's right before a pay-per-view. And some people, I mean, people have made a running joke. There's been like 9 episodes where CM Punk has something to say. Somebody took the thumbnail from every episode where it was advertised. CM Punk has something to say. CM Punk needs to address something. CM Punk has something to say. Now, obviously with Full Gear, tonight was good. But, you know, when you start looking overall, I mean, look at Friday. CM Punk has something to say. All right, we're going to wrap this up. So, last chance. We got a 10-second warning, everybody. So I'm going to count down from 10 to 0, and then I'm going to hit stop in the chat, and that's it. So 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3. Good night, Sterling. 2, 1, stop. That is it. Good luck, everybody. So now, if you were unable to be part of this, don't forget, when the show is over, in the comment section, you can post a comment about anything you want to mention with AEW NXT. And just at the end of it, write hashtag, you know, the pound sign, hashtag Mox, M-O-X. And then next week, we'll pick another winner. If I get the other books, maybe we'll pick two next week. So, Charlie, I'll talk about Eric Adams tomorrow. I actually got two very interesting photos to show you tomorrow. My dad rubbed elbows not only with him, but another politician that won yesterday. And my father was all over TV yesterday. I don't know if I could air the video footage because it might be a copyright strike, but my father was actually on local TV yesterday. Pretty cool. So, NXT this week. Match results first. Dakota Kai over Cora Jade. Dakota Kai, a little bit of a tweak look, like the little added makeup. I will repeat what I said last week. Dakota Kai was all over the dark matches for a while. And Dakota Kai was supposed to be on that main roster. Somebody changed their mind. And I think the reason why they changed their mind was because of Sasha, Becky, Charlotte, Bianca, now giving Liv a little exposure. And then you also want to add in there that Bayley may be returning not too long from now. So where does Dakota Kai fit in? Look at Toni Storm. They're having such a difficult time to try to get Toni Storm mixed in all of this. So they put Dakota Kai back in NXT. You know, Raquel Gonzalez got a dark match the other day. But I'd rather see Dakota Kai in NXT right now, to be honest. Hell, I'd rather see Toni Storm back in NXT. So Dakota Kai, she beats Cora Jade. Zion Quinn over Robert Stone, which was horrendous. I mean, whatever that shit was with the dancing and then the wrestling. I mean, the fans didn't like it. Mish thought it was kind of funny yesterday. I watched it today because I didn't see NXT last night. And I was like, oh, this is awful. I didn't like it at all. Cameron Grimes going into the poker room and like they're acting like he's not aware that he's got like a flush and he's beating Duke Hudson. I'm like, wait a minute. They just did this whole millionaire thing and this guy does it. I thought that was kind of corny. Raul Mendoza and Joaquin Wilde over Von Wagner and Kyle O'Reilly. I said it on Monday. I'll repeat it. I can't stand every time someone as a wrestler they like in WWE, but they feel it's cool to bash WWE, that they have to Photoshop that person on a generic blah, 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 is all elite. Chad Gable. Remember over the weekend? People close to Chad Gable are telling him to get out of his contract and go to AEW.
Warning, warning, bullshit alert.
Tomorrow we have a bullshit alert with Sports Skeeta, Shit Skeeta. Oh, they clickbaited with Mick Foley today, and props to Mick Foley for handing it right back to them, those clickbaiters. But, you know, poker, P-O-K-E-R, like Joker. I'm a joker, I'm a poker. I'm not a cock smoker. Poker. I know, it sounds like poker, like, hey, poker. You know, get her attention, poker. Kyle O'Reilly is the latest one that is now photoshopped all over the All Elite banners. Kyle O'Reilly is All Elite because his contract is supposedly going to be up at the end of the year. So now everybody that didn't give a shit about the Undisputed Era dominating NXT suddenly want to see the Undisputed Era in AEW. And I understand why. Seen him feud with the Young Bucks, Kenny Omega. I mean, yeah, it's fantasy matches. Absolutely. I understand why people do that. But, you know, let's not count our chickens before they hatch, because that's where fake news starts to develop. The poker segments, Ray, were fine if we didn't have so much of a backdrop with Cameron Grimes. I mean, don't get me wrong. Let me make this clear, because I know somebody in the comment section is going to try to clear this up for me or correct me later. Well, Don Tony, Cameron Grimes got the money from betting in the stock market. He wasn't necessarily a gambler. I get it. But still, the overall perception, you know, that he doesn't know how to play cards. I mean, I would have rather him do that while he still had all the money. Because then you could have backstage skits. Yes, Duke Hudson wasn't around that time, but I don't know. It was okay. Yeah, maybe the more I think about it, it wasn't as bad. You know, but look, again, this is developmental. Some of the skits are going to be outrageously stupid. Some of it's going to be kind of blah. You know, sometimes it feels like throw shit on the wall and see what sticks. Yeah, that's what's going to happen. Look, people think that Tony D'Angelo, now he's a baby face. Hey, he's $100. Hey, you know, you got a hair appointment. You know, it's over. Why is this red? It's not red. Am I light? Must be the light. You know, suddenly everybody, Tony D'Angelo is your baby face now. And let the character develop a little bit. He's had, what, two matches on TV? I like it. But people, I think, are like rushing the judgment a little bit. And I, you know, the Lash segments, yeah, I know everybody says it reminds him of Wendy Williams. It's fine. It's not meant to be like a polished, like, it's fine. It's fine. I find it funny with Mark. In fact, if I was WWE, I need Tony D'Angelo to beat up another executive producer named Mark and then beat up somebody in catering named Mark and then beat up somebody in makeup named Mark. And then they could turn around and say, why is Tony D'Angelo keep beating up Marks? Yeah, maybe that wasn't so good. Bron Breakker squashing Andre Chase. Bron Breakker. He's going to be fine, man. He is the future, next big star. You could see it. It's not even a question. It's just season develop. No rush at all. Boa getting the win over Grayson Walker surprised the shit out of me. That surprised me. I'm still concerned about Boa's future in that company, but that was a little surprising yesterday. Trick Williams and Carmelo Hayes over Dexter Lumis and Johnny Gargano. You know, I like the synchronized crawling with those two, and the match was comedic. You know, the thing now is Ciampa is out there, and people think that we may see some type of reunion with Ciampa and Gargano. I'm not so sure. Because they're really focused on having some young stars interact and intertwine. I mean, could we see a tag match once in a while? Possibly. But I don't know if we're going to see Gargano versus Ciampa or them reforming DIY. I mean, I understand DIY, one of the greatest tag teams ever in NXT. I don't know if that's the right way to go. Where's Timothy Thatcher? Yeah, right now he's probably sleeping. It's late. It's 11:55 p.m. We're going to start wrapping this up. Yes, we went a little bit longer than 90 minutes because of the conversation we had at the beginning of the show. But obviously, we needed to have some real discussion, and I take pride in that. Seriously. I mean, I like that once in a while we could talk about some very serious issues. You know, this happens to obviously involve somebody in wrestling, but we've had some tragedies and we've had some situations happen that had nothing to do with wrestling. And the fact that, you know, everybody here can, you know, just let your guard down a little bit and have some real conversation. You know, this is, I'm not trying to criticize other shows out there, but there are so many people out there that are characters. They can't be themselves. They can't. I mean, and that's why you see rarely any real deep, raw conversations. There's a lot of people that feel very uncomfortable as well. And I don't blame some people out there. So I don't know what Gargano's future is going to be. I like the Gargano Dexter Lumis stuff, but the wedding angle just seems to have stalled terribly. You know, I know, you know, something's got to develop. There's got to be something else to it. So anyway, I saved this part for last as far as yesterday with NXT. Toxic trifecta. Mandy Rose comes out and, you know, she's talking about the toxic trifecta. All three members of Toxic Attraction winning gold. JC Jane, Gigi Dolan are not by her side. Now, for those that aren't aware, Zoe Stark is injured. We don't know exactly how bad her injury is. I've heard a blown knee. I've heard torn meniscus. I've heard a very sprained ankle. We don't know the extent of her injury, but she is injured. And that's why they did what they did yesterday. If you notice, Dakota Kai brought in back to NXT to quickly shift Raquel Gonzalez away from the title picture. Zoe Stark now injured, Io Shirai without anything. So now you have Io Shirai, they're teasing Io Shirai and Mandy Rose, and I know what a lot of you are thinking. Wow, that may not be all that great. I think it actually would be a lot better than people think. But I agree with you. I mean, Io Shirai, we have praised Mandy Rose. She has improved significantly. Improved, without a doubt. It would be really interesting to see the dynamic of her and Io Shirai in the ring. You know, like, if especially if... I don't want to put it on the level of Asuka versus Carmella. But something tells me that if that ends up going down, you may see comparisons of Asuka and Carmella. If you remember back then. The only difference is we don't have the, you know, that little shrimp. What was his name again? Oh, I can't remember his name right now. It's right on the tip of my tongue. Somebody will correct me. That was his name. You know, anybody with, you know, two hands and obviously 2 feet and obviously a pair of eyes, you know, can win. What the hell is that guy's name again? He got outed. James Ellsworth. Thank you, Gordon. I haven't had to think about him much lately. James Ellsworth. I heard he's actually a pretty good guy. I don't know what the story is, but, you know, some of the comments I saw looked pretty damning. I mean, so anyway. So Io Shirai, without a storyline feud, anything right now, so they basically start attacking Io Shirai, and we get Kaden Carter and Casey Catanzaro for the save, so I think next week we'd have a 6-woman tag match, Toxic Attraction versus Io Shirai, Kaden Carter, and Casey Catanzaro. Okay. Again, you know, we have to realize and remind ourselves. I think that's probably the better way to put it. We need to remind ourselves that NXT is what Heartland Wrestling used to be, is what OVW used to be, is what Florida Championship Wrestling in the early stages what used to be. NXT going back down to 631 in the ratings, which is a 15% drop from last week, was expected. Not only Halloween Havoc, but, you know, we had playoffs, baseball, World Series. We had election yesterday. So I think 631 was a pretty damn good number under the circumstances. So, you know, this is developmental. And I tell you, props to WWE, props to all of you out there that refuse to accept. Remember like clickbait for the 2 months leading up to NXT 2.0, that NXT's dead. It's going to have a new name. It's not going to be NXT anymore. Like Triple H, like, lost all his authority. The only reason why Shawn Michaels is running the ship right now is because Triple H is recovering from the heart issues. You know, I mean, it's just, oh, Vince McMahon, Bruce Pritchard, they're going to put all their fingerprints all over it. Vince McMahon's fingerprints have been all over it since 2010. You know, NXT 2.0, I summed it up very quickly, very easily, a long time ago. I said in February of last year, they need to go back to their roots. They need to develop the stars, which gave us Bayley, Sasha Banks, Charlotte Flair. Asuka was already a star. She just needed to get domesticated for WWE. You look at some of the stars they brought in, Bray Wyatt, you know, Luke Harper, Eric Rowan, God rest Luke Harper's soul. You look at The Shield, came in from there. Sure, Seth Rollins was already a star in Ring of Honor, and Moxley, more hardcore. So they need to be the developmental that they used to be. And I love the colors now. I said from day one that to me it looked like an artist. You ever see an artist that paints and they got that board, and it's got all these different colors on it, and you just put it all together and it turns into one, you know, diverse work of art. That's, to me, what NXT 2.0 was all about. It's bright. It feels like the room is bright. It feels like everybody is having a good time, and wrestling should be fun. That's why Tony Khan pulling back on the negative comments is so important, because you want every aspect of that promotion to be fun, right down to the owners, right down to the fans. Everything should feel like it's fun and not forced as well. So, with that said, I am going to jet out of here. So I want to thank you all for tuning in tonight. Much love as always. Big shout out to our elite members. Shout out to the family. And tomorrow night, if you're not doing anything, I will be here at 10.05 p.m. Eastern. And yes, I think we're going to have a little test run of the sit-down. And we will take a lot more calls tomorrow than we usually do. So if you've been wanting to call in and haven't had the opportunity to do so, tomorrow is your night. I don't know if we're going to show any retro stuff from my days, but I know tomorrow we will obviously talk about any news that breaks. We'll have the Dynamite rating as well. We have a contest tomorrow. Isn't the Finn Balor giveaway tomorrow? I think the Finn Balor giveaway is tomorrow. And I don't know. I remember we had the Sasha Banks photo that a lot of people wanted to give away. Yeah, here's the Finn Balor one for tomorrow. So we got a few things tomorrow. Oh, do you see it? It's been there since Monday. Remember I told you the Sting figure with the nappy hair? I purposely have it back there. Should I take it out now so you could see it up close? If anybody tuned in to last Thursday, there's the figure. I had it there on Monday, and nobody noticed it. Actually, one person emailed me and said, is that the Sting figure in the back? This was the one that somebody told me about. This is not, I'll leave you with this. Go get a good laugh out of this. I mean, we've been having a lot of fun with some of the Sting merchandise from WCW from back in the day. It's not that Sting, I don't remember Sting the Crow always looking angry and constipated. Like Sting back then when he was the Crow, he was just no emotion at all. He would just stand there and he would just stare into space. You look at all the merchandise, he looks like he can't take a shit. Seriously, you look at that. Oh, come on, man. I just can't picture him in the 90s when they're having all these meetings. Hey, we want to come out with this gum. I can't believe that he didn't say, why do I look like I'm constipated all the time? Well, I'll show you in 1 second. We just want to roll these our great members of the family. Yes, there's quite a few of you. I know the scroll is a little bit slower today, but that's all right. Big shout out to all of them. And hey, if you want to become a channel member, you know, we do questions from time to time. We do predictions contests. We do some other stuff. But much love to them. So anyway, there we go. Kieran O'Neill. Oh, you know what happened? It's been continuously because I forgot to put the space between the names. So it repeated like 2-3 times. Check this out. This is not fake. It has not been altered. It has not been fucked up for entertainment purposes. Somebody, and it still has the tag. I'm going to show you the tag. It still has the tag. It's brand new. Somebody in WCW actually thought this would be a merchandise seller. You think I was kidding when I said if you take Don King and you have him fuck Bray Wyatt with the dreadlocks? Look at this. Look at this hair. What the fuck is that? What is that? What the hell is this? Look at this hair. Hey, we got this idea for Sting. Look at this. Look at his eyes. I mean, this is what the Sting merchandise looked like in the 90s. Hey, we want to sell this guy. You know, he's actually looking at him like, oh, what the fuck is that? What did you do to my hair? Yeah, what's going on? Look at this. When did Sting have hair like this? You know what it looks like? It looks like somebody took Sting and put him in a microwave and his eyeballs were about to pop out. And they're like, okay, that's it. Freeze the frame. What the hell is this? This is real. This is not a joke. This is legit. They actually came out with this. Look at this. You think I'm kidding? Do the research. Somebody actually said, yeah, let's make a beanie baby of Sting and give him this fucking hair. What is that? It's not the Kiss demon. You see the Sting stuff? Look at this. Seriously, Bischoff, who the fuck came up with this? Look at this. Oh, my God. You think I was kidding when I said this? Somebody emailed to me. I'm like, that's got to be a joke. Look at this. Unbelievable. It does. He looked like he stuck his finger in an outlet. You know, wet his finger and then stuck it in a outlet somewhere. Hey, Sting, we need you to pose for this upcoming doll. So we want you to just lay in this bathtub of water, all right? And then, you know, when we count to three, you're going to just go, showtime, folks. And right when they counted to three, they threw a fucking plugged-in toaster in the bathtub. And he's like, it's showtime, folks. What is that? My fiance's bush is not even this big. Look at this. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. By the way, yeah, we are going to open up Kevin Nash's head. I have the batteries. I don't know if we'll do it tomorrow. Maybe we will. If we hit a lull, we'll open his head up. We'll put the batteries in and we'll see what this freaking thing has to say. All right, I'm out of here, everybody. If you enjoyed tonight's show, would you be so kind to hit that thumbs up? The more we get some of you to do that, the more that tells YouTube you enjoy the show. And by the way, keep spreading the word. You know, it was only about 2 weeks ago that we hit 21,000 subscribers. I think we're like at 21,600 or 21, almost hitting 21,700. It's amazing because I know a lot of you out there. And look, I don't know if you're doing it because I said when the channel gets to 50,000 subscribers, I would contact a former co-host or two and do a reunion show or two. I was dead serious about that. I'll do it. So, you know, hey, the quicker we get to 50,000, the quicker I ask. And something tells me that it will happen. So, yeah, the old merch is funny, man. Seriously, the old merch is pretty funny. The Sting stuff just amazes me. Because this was your focal guy. This was your top baby face, pretty much. And somebody in the fucking company says, oh, yeah, that's going to sell. That's going to sell. I mean, what market were they trying to attract? I have no idea. I'm like a little blown away by it. And it's brand new. It's brand new. They're beanbags. I guess he did have long hair at one point, but not this nappy fucking stick my penis in an outlet hair. Anyway, Misfits thing. I am Misfit Don Tony. Have a great night, everyone. I see you tomorrow night at 10:05 p.m.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. UFC, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who've claimed they care the most for your life. And now, that's all over. And that's the best part. Today, everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.